This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee, so recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Almighty Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners of today's special from IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum and welcome. We're talking about the concept of sacrifice in the view of Islam. I invite you to listen to us.
والأحد يحكي ظلمة فيها ابتلائي والنور خط كتابه أنسي لقائي.
Today, Wednesday, is the 10th of Safar, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar History Calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar History Calendar, and the 7th of September, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. We'll listen to Chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 207.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين.
O you who have believed, enter into Islam completely and perfectly and do not follow the footsteps of Satan. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The verse was revealed about and in the praise of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'mineen, peace be upon him, after that he readily slept in the bed of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, on the night known as Laylatul Mabit. This idea is in wide scale famous so that none can deny it but a pagan or a crazy one. The most profitable bargain is the one that a person sells his best property, his soul, to Allah, his creator. Such a bargain is done neither for paradise nor for being safe from the fire of hell, but it is merely performed for gaining his pleasure.
Allah, 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 ma lana maulan siwa Allah. Allah, 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 ma lana.
We're speaking about Islam and sacrifice. Be with us. This is today's special. Islam is not merely the confession of a faith which is made once in a lifetime. The faith is of cosmic dimensions. It requires a radical direction of entire life and the world. The confession is not merely verbal. It is an act of witnessing which must transform life into a living and continuing testimony of faith. You enter Islam by saying Shahada, that means bearing witness, Allahu Akbar. But you can live in Islam only by constantly doing Shahada. Doing Shahada will bring you in ceaseless confrontation with false gods inside you and with those outside you. It will also require a ceaseless striving to reshape self and society so as to attest to your witnessing. Being Muslim thus requires becoming Muslim. Becoming Muslim after the seed of Iman has been sown in the heart is a twofold process: to summon one's own self and to summon mankind to live under the sovereignty of one God alone.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the sacrifice and its role in people's lifestyle. Even in our communities right now around us, we may find many examples of such people who are ready to sacrifice their lives for the sake of other people. For example, in our post-revolutionary history in Iran, we find that those people who went to the battlefields in order to defend the nation, in order to defend the country and the nation, all of them proved exemplary figures in terms of being ready to sacrifice their lives, even at the cost of martyrdom and being slain in the cause of God for the sake of people. I mean, for the rest of people. For example, nowadays we find that some individuals, whether known, I mean, nationwide or not, they sacrifice their lives, and instead of adopting a kind of life in which they themselves and their children would reach a very affluent type of life, they sacrifice their lives for the sake of guiding other people to the right path. Many of such figures were, for example, among the authors, translators, publishers, and so on. In this connection, we find that sacrifice is a moral trait and a moral virtue. And according to the definitions given in some ethical books, like, for example, Mi'raj al-Sa'adah, written by the late Mullah Ahmad Naraghi, who was a medieval scholar, we find that, in terms of sacrifice's definition is that sacrifice makes sense and can be seen when someone gives out something to other people to which he himself may be in dire need of. And it indicates that those people, those teachers, those exemplary teachers of Islamic morality and Islamic ethics, they gave practical definitions. And out of any definition in the books, they indicate and they mention many examples.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
From the things to sacrifice for the sake of Allah, it can suggest arguments. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his family, said, I guarantee a house on the outskirts of paradise for one who leaves arguments, even if he is right, and a house in the middle of paradise for one who abandons lies even when joking, and a house in the highest part of paradise for one who makes his character excellent. What a nice tradition. It's always difficult to back down in an argument. Its very nature makes us want to prove the person in front of us wrong. and Shaitan is egging us on. It's even more difficult to back down from an argument when we know we are right. The Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, provides an incentive for us to back down from an argument, even if we are right. A house on the skirts of paradise. Remember that. In this part, we're going to speak about Karbala. In Karbala, we have an unforgettable sacrifice for Islam. Before Imam al-Hussein left his hometown of Medina to embark on his mission, he wrote a will that he left in the custody of his brother. The will contained a clear, concise statement of his mission, for the Imam did not wish history to misunderstand or misrepresent the purpose of his stand against Yazid, the new ruler of the Umayyad dynasty. The mission statement reads, "I am not rising against Yazid as an insolent or an arrogant or a mischief monger or as a tyrant. I have risen against him as I seek to reform the Ummah, community of my grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family. I wish to bid the good, amr bil ma'ruf, and forbid the evil, nahi anil munkar, and to follow the way of my grandfather and father, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib." The Imam first dispels the accusations that later day historians might level against him. He denies that he's planning to lead a rebellion against Yazid. Rather, the Imam emphasizes that his purpose is to reform the Prophet's community. Barely half a century had passed since the Prophet's demise, and the religion of Islam had become so distorted and diluted that there was a grave risk that the pristine religion would be completely replaced by the court religion.
And Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, he says, the hadith that's narrated from him, he says that on the night of Ashura, "I was so sick, I came, I saw my father speaking with the companions." Do you know what he was saying? He was remembering Allah. Allahumma ahmaduka. Allahumma inni ahmaduka. Ala kulli hal. Ala sarra wa dharra. I thank you, ya Allah, and praise you, no matter if I'm comfortable or I'm not comfortable, distressed. That's all he was thinking about. And in the final moments of Aba Abdullah's life, when he was between the enemies, bleeding, before they came and killed him, the hadith says that he raised his hands and he began to do munajat. Munajat that we do in Ramadan in the masjid, only in such an atmosphere. Aba Abdullah is doing it in the battlefield before he dies, a few seconds before he dies. The famous dua, munajat of Imam al-Hussein. Allahumma muta'ali al-makan, azimul jabarut, shadidul mihal, ghaniyun anil khalaiq. What a beautiful munajat. He's doing it seconds before he's killed. What does this all show you? It shows you how important huququllah were to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, because he was a moral individual. Because he was only concerned not about what I benefit from others, but about me preserving the rights of others. And this is one of the qualities of a mu'min, brothers and sisters. A mu'min is someone that's always looking out for the interests of other people. He's always worried about not hurting other people, not just worried about himself.
Dear friend, inshallah, we continue our discussion on the next episode of today's special. Until then, wassalamu alaikum.
ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder over a famous saying narrated by the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, regarding his illustrious ancestress, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. Poverty shall not enter a house inhabited by people having the names Muhammad from among men and Fatima from among women.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite for you a beautiful hadith which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the rights of the neighbor. You know, human beings in this world, they have a variety of rights upon one another. For example, a child has certain rights which deserve to be fulfilled by his parents, and vice versa. A husband has certain rights which a wife should observe, and vice versa. One of those rights which human beings have upon one another is the rights that a neighbor has upon his fellow neighbor. Neighbors have rights upon one another. And in this beautiful hadith, the Prophet alludes to some of them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the following on the rights of the neighbor. It is, meaning it's one of these rights, is to help him if he asks for your help. And if your neighbor, let's say that you, in the morning, you wake up in the morning, you're ready to go to work, you come out of work, and you see your neighbor has a flat tire. And he asks you for some help so you can change his tire. Well, it's his right upon you, to ask for help, and you should help him. To lend him if he asks to borrow from you, let's say that your neighbor's child is sick, he needs some money to go to the doctor, he doesn't have it at the time, and he asks you for your help, right? It's his right upon you to ask for help in this case, and you should fulfill his right and allow him to, take the money, of course, if you have the ability to do so. The Prophet then said, to satisfy his needs if he becomes poor, say that he falls upon bad times, he gets laid off, right, and he needs a little help, right? If you can help him, it's your duty to do so. To console him if he is visited by an affliction, let's say that one of his parents pass away, or one of his other relatives passes away, and he's sad. You should go and console him, help him feel better. To congratulate him if he is met with good fortune, let's say he gets a job, he gets a new job, he gets a raise, and he lets you know about it. You should congratulate him about it. To visit him if he becomes ill, to attend, and finally, to attend his funeral if he dies. Right? These are the rights that he has upon you. He has a right upon you even after his death. You should go attend his funeral. Not to make your house higher than his without his consent, lest you deny him the breeze. By raising your house higher than his, if it prevents the cool breeze from coming into his house, right? You are denying him one of his rights. And by doing so, you would be committing a sin. So you should avoid this. To offer him fruit when you buy some, or to take it to your home secretly if you do not do that. Meaning, let's say you go and buy some fruit, you should come and give him some. Don't take it to your house secretly and prevent him from, enjoying the fruit that you bought. Nor send out your children with it, so as not to upset his children. Right? Let's say that you bought some fruit, and you don't want to give it to him. At least do not send it outside with your children, so that his children, by seeing it, would become sad. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the rights of a neighbor upon another neighbor in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
يا جيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Okay, respected brothers and sisters, welcome back again to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So we are here with you again, and also Brother Hussein Ruhullah here, Ali Nasir here, and Brother Fawad Haider here. We'll go through the Surah Al-Baqarah, inshallah, review the Tajweed rules and apply the rules on verses of the Holy Quran Kareem.
في القرآن سعادتنا مدى الأزمان وفيه الخير للإنسان ويطوي عثرة المجروح
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We finished, we discussed about the Tajweed rules in بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, the correct pronunciation, the correct reading, and the correct rules of mad. Okay, all of them we practiced, yes?
Yes.
So everyone, let's say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and then go through Alif Lam Mim and the other rules. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, great. So in the next part of this ayah, Alif Lam Mim, we have only the rule of mad. But remember that 29 of the surahs of the Quran and Kareem, we have that start with these letters, okay? That inshallah in the next classes, okay, we'll talk about the meaning of these letters, okay? And why are they written this way? Why they are not pronounced, okay? Inshallah we'll talk about them, alright? But now we'll go through the tajweed rules, not the interpretation, okay? The tafsir. So, alif, lam, mim. The lam and mim, okay? Lam and mim. Alif doesn't have any mad, but the lam and mim, okay? So they are called the mad, are called maddul lazim, the mandatory mad, yes? The mandatory mad, so that you have to stretch it for how many counts? Four to six. But no, it's mandatory. Mandatory mad has to be stretched for six counts.
Yeah.
Mandatory. It is mandatory.
Lazim.
It is necessary.
Yeah.
That you gotta stretch it for
six counts.
Six counts. So, how do you say this? Alif Lam Mim. Alright, count. Six fatha.
Yes.
Six kasra. Sound, okay? Count it. Alif Lam Mim. Six counts, okay? That's it. Recite it, Hussein Rahullah.
Alif Lam Mim.
Ahsan, Fawad Haider.
Alif Lam Mim.
Ahsan, mashallah. Ali Nasir.
Alif Lam Mim.
Oh, so Ali Nasir's reading was wrong. Why? You know what? There is a point
he
that
said
you
separately.
Should remember. No. No, no, no. It was correct as he separately reading because they are letters, okay? But there is just a tiny
were a very kind of, what do we say, precise, okay, precise point here, tajweed rules, okay, here. One of the precisely tajweed rules here. Applied, it is applied, okay. Alif, lam, mim sakin. Lam ends with mim sakin, yeah? Then the next letter is, mim starts with mim. We have two mim here, joined mim. A baby W is there if you write them like this. Alif, lam, mim, we write alif, lam, mim like this, okay? So here you have to, we studied, okay, the rule of mim mushaddad. Yes, Hussein? The rule of mim mushaddad we had studied. Yes? You stretch it for two counts. Gunna sound.
Yes.
And also, alif, lam, gunna sound.
Yes.
Alif, lam, mim. Two counts and gunna sound. Go on, Ali Nasir. You two applied, okay? It's correct. It was correct, but you didn't know. Yes? Okay, go on, Ali Nasir.
Alif, lam, mim.
Ah, this was better. Alif, lam, mim. That's it. So, the next, that was all about this, okay? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. In the previous session as well, we talked about it, but just quick review, okay? The first thing about this ayah, those six dots that you see, okay? Three dots on the top of ba, three dots on the top of ha. We said that this is a sign of
waqf.
Stopping or stop. Waqf, yes?
Yes.
Alamatul waqf. But what does it say?
It says you can stop on one of these two words.
It's, yeah.
You must.
You must stop on one of them.
Yes.
Either the first one or the second one. But if you stop at the first one, can you stop at the second one?
No.
If you stop at the second, if you didn't stop at the first one.
So you should stop on the second
stop
one.
Stop at the second one. Okay? But usually the reciters recite and stop at fi.
Yeah, second one.
Then they recite, okay? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه
أحسن هدى للمتقين
هدى للمتقين
Okay, but one thing you gotta remember, okay, I just heard Fawad Haider reading this way, متقين, he's doing that, but قاف, it is a heavy letter, but when it has a كسرة, it becomes a light letter, okay, it is pronounced like a light letter, not that heavy. Muttaqiqin. Say it, Fawad Haider. Muttaqin.
Muttaqin.
Do not circle your mouth. Muttaqin.
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 Ah, that's right. Say it again.
Muttaqin.
Muttaqin. Hudal lil muttaqin.
Hudal lil muttaqin.
Ahsan. Hudal lil muttaqin. Okay. Not straight, do not make it a heavy letter. Muttaqeen, no. So, we have the natural mad, kitab, natural mad, raib. What type of mad is it?
Lean.
Lean, madul lean. Ay sound or ow sound. Sometimes we have in other words. Fee. Madul tabi'i, but change to?
Madul lean.
No, madul arid, lissukun. Okay, it's.
Because of
stopping here, mad al-tabi'i is changed to a longer mad. Hudan lil muttaqin idgham, right? Hudan, tanween fatha, next.
Lil.
Yes. That ye is not actually ye, that is?
Huruf for mad.
Harful mad.
Harful mad, yeah.
That is alif maqsura, and it says that if you stop at hudan, it changes to? Alif ma.
Yes.
Yeah, huda. Fihi huda. Have you recited this? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبُ فِيهِ هُدَى. Okay? This way.
قَلْبٌ بِالْحَقِّ تَعَلَّقْ وَبِغَارِحِ رَاءَ تَأَلَّقْ يَبْكِي يَسْأَلُ خَالِقَهُ فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق
So, للمتقين. Again, natural mad, it's stretched for a longer sound, okay? متقين. That's all about this ayah. No other points, okay?
Yes.
So, Hussein Ruhullah, recite this ayah once. Let's listen to you.
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين.
There was a tiny mistake. Let's see if Ali Nasir fixes it. Recite. Recite. Let's see if you fix it.
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين.
He fixed that mistake, but he added one more mistake. Let's see if Fawad Haider fixes both mistakes. Okay, go on.
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين.
أحسن. He fixed all both mistakes. MashaAllah. And he didn't add any more mistakes. Okay. So, the mistake was at the letter Ra. That Hussein Ruhullah made that mistake. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Say this way. But Ali Nasir fixed it. But he added one more mistake. فِيه. فِيه. He didn't stretch the sound. When you stop, مَدُ التَّبِيِّ changes to a longer mad. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
So, but Fawad Haider, alhamdulillah, fixed it. Oh, mashallah. Let's recite a salawat for Fawad Haider.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Okay.
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين.
Recite, everyone.
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين.
Excellent. This is the correct recitation of these two ayahs that we have. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الف لام ميم and so on. Okay, the next ayah, the third ayah of surah. Al-Baqarah starts with Al-Ladhina. Starts with a Hamzatul Wasl. Yeah? Yes. What was the rule? The rule was this, that if a word starts with Hamzatul Wasl, a word has a Hamzatul Wasl, and you start reading from that word having Hamzatul Wasl, you have to take a look at the rules, okay? The one rule is this, that if Hamzatul Wasl has the Lam after it, or the Lam with Ta'rif after it, doesn't matter after Lam you have moon letter or sun letter, okay? Hamzatul Wasl will be assigned with what harakat?
Fatha.
Fatha. Al, wherever you go. Al-Kitab, Al-Lathina, Al-Ghaib, Al-Salat, whatever, okay? You have. Al-Akhira, for example, you have Al-Muflihun, so whatever. Al-Baqara, so whatever you have. Al. Okay? So how do you read this?
This one?
This ayah. How do you start?
Al-Lathina.
Al-Lathina. Great. So, the pronunciation of the letter that. Let's read this ayah then and take a look at the tajweed rules. Ready? Listen and repeat, okay?
الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ.
أحسن أحسن. So, الَّذِينَ, the first point about the letter ذَال, the pronunciation, right?
Yes.
الَّذِينَ ذَال. سيد حسين روح الله.
الَّذِينَ.
فواد.
الَّذِينَ.
أحسن علي ناصر.
الَّذِينَ.
Brothers and sisters. Oh yeah, that was correct. Thank you. الَّذِينَ. Okay. Yeah, I heard them. I just pronounced it in behalf of them. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Try not to pronounce it as يُؤْمِنُونَ. Hamza is there, okay? That waw is just like a chair or something, like a base for it, okay? Not nothing else, okay? You gotta pronounce it as Hamza. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Gha, the pronunciation of the letter Ghain, heavy letter. Gha, Ghaib. And also it has what type of mad?
Lean.
Mad al-Lean. Ghaib. Alladhina yu'minuna bil Ghaib. If you stop here, they do not have to stop, but you can stop. If you stop, you have to again read, again start from the previous words, okay? Bil Ghaib. If you stop here, ba the ba maksura will be changed to sakin ba, and you have to apply what rule?
Maddul arz al sukun.
Yeah, again, ghaib, but no, I was asking you about the letter ba when it becomes sakin. What rule is applied? Ghaib.
Qalqala.
Ghaib. Okay, ghaib. Don't forget these five letters. Qaf, ta, ba, jim, qutbajal. Okay, thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB. Thanks first and foremost to Allah Almighty, and then to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network. Inshallah, see you next week. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajil faraja.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Your horse returns to Alcamp Riderless.
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي ورجاي.
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves, Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ آلَ زِيَادٍ وَآلَ مَرْوَانٍ.
Dear listeners, as you were previously with us, we were discussing this part of Ziyarat al-Ashura. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ آلَ زِيَادٍ وَآلَ مَرْوَانٍ. May Allah distance from His mercy the clan of Ziyad and the clan of Marwan. We sufficiently discussed who Ziyad was, his father, where he was born, and what history revealed us about his lifetime and his atrocities. And now, in the previous episode, we started introducing Marwan ibn Hakam. We said that Marwan and his father Hakam, they were both banished, and they were called in a tradition as Qarid ibn Qarid, or also Wazagh ibn al-Wazagh. So we have a very stern narrations about Hakam, but perhaps the most stern one about Hakam is this report narrated from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He says, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ الْحَكَمْ إِبْنَ أَبِ الْعَاسِ وَلَوْ تَحْتَ أَسْتَارِ الْكَعْبَ فَاقْتُلُوهُ. If you see Hakam ibn As behind even the curtains of Kaaba, kill him. This is what has been reported in Bihar al-Anwar of Allama Majlisi in the 33rd volume. But the son, Marwan, is reported to have lived in Taif until one of the relatives came to power, and that relative spent money lavishly for him and appointed him a minister, married him his daughter, and entrusted to him all the political affairs, though he was devoid of any correct political vision. There is this tradition from Abu Huraira, which is reported to have said that the Apostle of Allah saw in his dream that the progeny of Hakam are ascending on his pulpit and descending. Thereupon he angrily said, "I saw Bani al-Hakam jumping over my pulpit like monkeys." And when Marwan was Muawiyah's governor over Medina, he would vilify Ali every Friday on the pulpit. So Imam Hassan alayhi salam said to him, "Indeed, Allah cursed your father through the tongue of his prophet while you were still in his loins." The Prophet sallallahu said, "May Allah curse Hakam and whom he bears."
When people ask, "I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right," go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, "I'm confused," say, "Please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion." You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is: do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates him, he understands his dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, brothers and sisters, this Marwan is also known by another name in the history books. He is also known as Ibn al-Zarqa due to his grandmother, Az-Zarqa bint Wahab, who was a well-known prostitute of her time. In one of his stern encounters with Marwan, Imam Hussein alayhi salam draws his attention to his degenerate descent and says, "Yabna Az-Zarqa ad-da'iya ila nafsiha bisuqi 'ukkaz." O product of Zarqa, who would call others toward herself in the market of 'ukkaz. It is reported that when Yazid came to power, he sent a letter to Walid ibn Utbah, his governor in Medina, to seek oath of allegiance from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He also said that if Imam Hussein alayhi salam were to refuse, then Walid should behead him. Walid consulted Marwan for advice on this, and Marwan said, "Innahu la yubayya." Indeed, he will not give the oath of allegiance. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ مَكَانَكَ لَضَرَبْتُ عُنُقَ. If I were in your place, I would behead him. Brothers and sisters, this is what comes from the hatred against the Ahlul Bayt. Anyway, therefore, Walid, who was in the company of Marwan, summoned Imam alayhi salam to convey to him Yazid's message and seek from him the oath of allegiance. Imam alayhi salam came to Walid with 30 of his men. Walid informed the Imam of Muawiyah's death and then sought his oath of allegiance, whereupon Imam said, إن البيعة لا تكون سرا فإذا دعوت الناس غدا فادعنا معه. Indeed, the oath of allegiance does not transpire in private. So when you call the people tomorrow, invite us with them too. And Marwan, in his devilish nature, said, لا تقبل أيها الأمير عذره. O Amir, do not accept his excuse. If he pays his oath of allegiance now, well and good, otherwise behead him right now. Hearing this, Imam Hussein alayhi salam reprimanded Marwan and said, وَيْلٌ لَكَ يَبْنَ الزَّرْقَاءِ أَنْتَ تَأْمُرُ بِضَرْبِ عُنُقِي كَذِبْتَ وَاللَّهِ وَلَأُمْتَ. Woe be unto you, O son of Zarqa. You command to sever my head. By Allah, you cannot do that and you are degenerate. And addressing Walid, Imam said, أَيُّهَا الْأَمِيرُ إِنَّا أَهْلُ بَيْتِ النُّبُوَّةِ وَمَعْدِنُ الرِّسَالَةِ وَمُخْتَلَفِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ بِنَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ وَبِنَا خَتَمَ اللَّهُ. O Amir, we are the household of the Prophet, the minefield of apostleship, the place where angels frequent. And by Allah, Yazid is an open sinner, wine drinker, slayer of innocent souls and displayer of sin. So who is like me cannot pay an oath of allegiance to who is like him. مِثْلِي لَا يُبَايَعْ مِثْلَهُ. I assume that's enough for this episode. Dear listeners, we ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones, the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile...
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi...
Shahid Muhammad Baqir Al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudi was...
When we look at the works of late
Rawzati,
there is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.